Going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." I had a quick look on Google. I don't know if you've ever seen those programs on the Discovery Channel where they move buildings. Have you seen them? And they dig out the foundation underneath. And they put jacks underneath, load the building onto a lorry and move a whole building. I read about one in 1980s Romania when the particular leader wanted to make a boulevard through the middle of the town. But stood in the way was a block of flats. So instead of destroying the block of flats, he decided to cut it in half and move both halves like that to make the road through the middle. People even stayed in the flat whilst it was being moved, and there was a lady who put a glass of water on a balcony, and it didn't spill. Impressive. Certain things can be moved. We're thankful, though, that our God, one of the names that's given to him is the Rock, isn't it? So our friends from live stream, they're going to Lanjud now, and we know the big rocks that make up the bay. You've got the Little Orme and you've got the Great Orme. They're solid, aren't they? Nothing's gonna shake him. We're thankful that our God can never be shaken. In times of grief, in times of upheaval and changes in our family and in our work and in our health, God is our rock, our fortress, isn't he? Yet, even though we cannot be shaken, our God can be moved. Our God can be moved, even though he might not be shaken. What do you mean, Matt? We'll see this morning. Well, we're going to see 4 points. We're going to look at the leper's case, what was wrong with him, the leper's call, the Lord's compassion, and the Lord's commission to that leper. So, let's pick up in verse 40 and see the leper's case. It says, "Now a leper came to him," Jesus, "imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Leprosy. What is this disease? We're not that familiar with it in this country. There are between 100 and 200 new cases of leprosy identified between 2000 and 2010, but many of them got missed because we're not familiar with the symptoms. So people would be prescribed with drugs to aid psoriasis or something, but actually it was leprosy. So not that common in this country, but around the world there are 200,000 people today with what we know as Hansen's disease. That's what we call it, isn't it? Physically, what is the leper's case? What happens to him? Well, leprosy begins as small red spots on the skin. But before too long, the spots get bigger and start to turn white with a shiny or a scaly appearance. The spots soon spread over the body and the hair begins to fall out, first from the head, then even from the eyebrows. As things get worse, fingernails and toenails become loose. They start to rot and eventually they fall off. Then the joints and the fingers of the toes began to rot and fall off too, piece by piece. And we've seen pictures, haven't we, of those ladies in India with the hands or a stump. Gums begin to shrink so they can't hold the teeth anymore. Each tooth is lost one by one. And leprosy eats away at the face until the nose and the palate and even the eyes decompose and the leper wastes away. Leprosy can attack the nerve trunks. So the infected area, say if it's the foot for example, it loses all sensation. And the only point when a leper realises that they're not feeling something is when they step on a thorn. And then a few days later they look and they realise it's been lodged in there, but they didn't know. Because leprosy has taken away feeling and there isn't pain where there should have been in the first place. To top it all off, there's a smell of rancid flesh as leprosy gets worse and worse. The man that we're reading about, Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, which is a parallel to this account, says this man was full of leprosy. So he's not just got a few spots. This man has all of those symptoms to the nth degree. He's in the latter years of his life. He may have had this disease for 10 to 15 years. He's in a terrible state, isn't he? That's his case physically, but also ceremonially. What was this leper's case? Well, Leviticus 13, which is the middle chapter of the middle book of the Law of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, talks about how a priest can diagnose leprosy. And it says if there's a white spot deeper than the skin, if the hairs within it turn white or yellow, if it spreads, and if the flesh becomes raw inside the wound, then you know it's leprosy. But what was that leper to do? Turn with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44. Leviticus 13, verse 44, please. Leviticus 13, verse 44. This is after a priest has identified this man is a leper. And it says, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. What was the repeated word there? Unclean. And this man, he knew his uncleanness, but to make it worse, he had to walk around pronouncing his own doom, really, didn't he? He had to say, I am unclean. He sees a person, he's reminded again, because he has to say, I'm unclean. Again and again, he's reminded of his fate and of his being cut off. You see, this man, he couldn't come to the temple, could he? What did it say there in verse 46? His dwelling shall be alone, even outside the camp. He was cut off from people, cut off from the worship of God. He was unclean. So socially then, what was his case? We've read, he dwells alone outside the camp. We know how the priests used to make laws, didn't they? And they added on top. In the priestly laws, it said that you had to keep 6 feet away from a leper. So say, Mary, sorry, but you're a leper today. I can't get any closer to you than this. I can't touch you. You can receive no, you know, affirmation at all. If the wind is blowing from the direction of the leper, you have to stay 100 feet away from that man. No touch. A leper could not speak to anyone or receive or return a greeting. No interaction. And what's worse was the people in the days of Leviticus and also in Jesus' time saw leprosy as a direct stroke from God. So somebody with leper, they'd say, you must have been a really bad person. You must have done something very sinful to deserve this. No sympathy did the leper have. In fact, the leper was basically the walking dead. Do you know in the Middle Ages, when the Catholic priests would live out the Levitical system, or try to, When somebody was diagnosed as a leper, they'd come in their robes and they would actually read the burial service over a leper. Why? He's as good as dead. So physically, ceremonially, socially, the leper's case is a hopeless one, isn't it? You see, leprosy is a picture of sin and its effects on us. It might start small. The man who was developing leprosy, maybe he had a small spot around his neck or perhaps up here above the hairline. It couldn't be seen. He'd be tempted to ignore it. It'll be okay. But then it would begin to grow. So he'd try and hide its effects. Maybe he'd zip up his... Well, he wouldn't have zips. He'd wrap up his cloak and he'd try and hide its effects. Nobody will know. It's okay. I've got this under control. But then he'd realise, actually, I'm losing sensation. I can't feel that touch anymore. It's acting as an anaesthetic. Do you know, sin does these things to us, doesn't it? Sometimes we think, this area in my life, which I know is in disobedience to God, I've got it under control. It's only small. And we try and hide it away. We come here on a Sunday and we dress up nicely. Some more so than others. I shouldn't have said that because I'm the worst dressed here. And we think, nobody will know. You know, I can come here and put on a good face on a Sunday. It'll be alright. But then it spreads, doesn't it? And we realise, actually, that thing which I thought I've got under control, it's starting to take over my life. It acts as an anaesthetic. You see, sin comes along and it whispers, there's nothing wrong with you. It's only something small. Everybody does it. There's nothing wrong with you. God won't mind you having this little secret sin. Sin acts in the same way, doesn't it? It dulls our senses and it lulls us into a false sense of security. It isolates us from loved ones. And we know that in our families, don't we? I'm sure we can all look to that couple who have been broken apart because of unfaithfulness that might have started as something very small, but it ended up tearing a family apart. It happens in our friendships. It happens with our neighbours. Sin isolates us from our loved ones. And we see that in the area in which we live, don't we? Now, when we don't look down on people who are without Christ, but we see the effects that sin has on a community. But even more so, sin isolates from God. This leper, he couldn't come to the temple, could he? He couldn't come to the tabernacle in those days, or the synagogue, or temple. Sin isolates from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, say that God is still able to heal, he is still able to save, but it's our iniquities that have separated us from him and have hidden our view of him. Our sins separate us from God. The leper was the walking dead, wasn't he? Paul, in his epistle, I think it's in to the Ephesians, says that in our BC days, in our before Christ days, we were dead in trespasses and sins. My body might have been alive. I might have been growing as a young man, going on, but dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. The walking dead. Read the burial service over me now, because if I die now, then my soul will be separated from God forever in hell. The walking dead. So the leper's case, it's a hopeless one. Imagine him. Now read verse 40, knowing these things. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is the man's last chance, his last hope, coming to Jesus of Nazareth. To see the leper's call. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He comes in desperation. There was no expectancy in these days that anybody would be healed of leprosy. Are you familiar with the story of Naaman the leper in the Old Testament? A servant girl who gets taken captive works in his household and says, Oh, that my master would go to Israel, because there's a prophet there and he could basically heal you of your leprosy. So the king writes Naaman a covering letter, because Naaman's his general. Very scary covering letter, because in it it says, I'm sending this fella to you, he's got leprosy, heal him in a short way. So when the king of Israel opens up his letter, and it says, from the king of Syria, who's his enemy, by the way, they've had a war, I'm sending my top general to you, he's got leprosy, heal him. And he thinks, this man is trying to pick a fight with me. And he actually says, who does he think I am? Does he think I am God? Implying that the only one who can heal leprosy is who? God Almighty. There's no hope in medicine for this man in these days. The only way that he could be healed was coming to God. And we know that Naaman was, wasn't he? Yet this leper doesn't doubt Jesus' power. What does he doubt, though? He doesn't doubt his power. So it's almost a confession. Hey, Jesus, I know you are God Almighty. But what does he doubt? He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, I know you have the power. But I'm just not sure if you're willing to make me clean. What have I got to bring to you? My body is decaying. Nobody wants to be near me. I haven't even spoken to a person in years. I'm as good as dead. Are you willing to make me clean? When we come to Jesus, we must do the same. When we did that the first time when we became a Christian, we just had to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. We had nothing to commend ourselves to him, did we? Nothing. By grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We must do the same. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. But then let's see, after the leper's case and the leper's call, the Lord's compassion. You see, Jesus was willing. And today, Jesus is willing to make you clean. Let's see the Lord's compassion. Imagine the sight, though. A leper comes to him. The crowd parts. Nobody wants to be near this man. The smell is terrible. And he's there and he hobbles along. He's got a croaky voice because the leprosy has attacked his vocal cords. And he comes and he kneels down. To us, we'd be disgusted with this man, wouldn't we? What a horrible sight. How dare you come near the Saviour? What's Jesus' response? Verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus cleansed this man. Hallelujah for that. Notice though, Jesus didn't, and the man didn't ask him to heal him. What he asked him to do was to cleanse him. Far more important than having his fingers restored and his skin made right, I need to be cleansed. It's deeper than a healing. That's something spiritual. He needed to be cleansed. Today, we are cleansed. How? The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's power in the blood of Jesus. That is the means by which we are cleansed. We are washed clean. Leviticus 19 verse 2 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your souls, because it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Jesus shed his blood for us, made that sacrifice before God the Father, taking our wrath upon himself and then rising again so that we can be cleansed before him. But how was this man cleansed? Read verse 41, just quietly in your mind. How was this man cleansed? We were tempted to say, well, he's cleansed when he touches him. But actually, that's not the case. Read it again. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing to be cleansed. Verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. It's the word of Christ that did this for that man. The word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing how? By the word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. Psalm 119. The word. There's power in it. God's commands are God's enablements, aren't they? He's not going to tell you to do something that by his spirit he will not give you the ability to do. And by faith, when we respond to it, he helps us to live that way. But why the touch? Why would Jesus touch this man? Well, again, it's explained to us in verse 41. Then Jesus, reason, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. To be moved with compassion, the word is to feel it in the pits of your stomach. Such a yearning, such an intense feeling. Jesus was moved with compassion for this man. This man who was repulsive in every way, yet Jesus, the Holy One, was moved with compassion for him. This man, he'd felt no touch in years, had he? We couldn't even get within 6 feet of this man, let alone to touch him, to embrace him. What does Jesus do? Moved with compassion, touches that man. It's like in the incarnation. Hebrews 4:15 says that we have not a great high priest who is unable to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He is touched. That is the point of the incarnation. God became a man so that he could experience what we do, so that he could go through that life and then be the perfect sacrifice. Fully God and fully man. He understands, yet he was obedient in all points. Yet he was even obedient to death, even the death of the cross for us. And now he's exalted, isn't he? Do you know, there's a story about... I'm really bigging up the Roman Catholic Church. It's not intentional. I don't agree with what they say. But there was a Roman Catholic missionary. And he was a missionary to Hawaii. And we say, I wouldn't mind being a missionary to Hawaii. This is in the 1800s, though. His name was Father Damien. He was a Belgian national, missionary to Hawaii. So he went there to this particular island. There was only one sort of person that lived on this island. And you can guess what that sort of person was. Lepers. You see, this was a leper colony in Hawaii, where they'd shipped them all off to. And this man went to be a missionary of the Roman Catholic religion to them. He was there for 10 years, and nobody seemed to respond to what he was saying. And he was despondent, and he was getting on the ship to leave home, when, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he might have burned himself. And he realised, I've just burned myself, but I can't feel it. And you know what had happened, don't you? This man had contracted leprosy. So he's there, what do I do? I'm on the boat, do I go home? He decided, actually, to get off the boat and go back to those people. And you know, those people responded to him because they saw, actually, he understands what we go through. He understands what we're about, and you know, he built a big work there. Again, I'm not agreeing with what he did, but you get the picture, don't you? The people knew that he understood and associated with them. How much more, forget Father Damien, how much more Jesus Christ? Who are the lepers in our life? Who are the lepers in our family, in our community? Are they the addicted? Are they those who are separated from family? Are they the mentally ill? Are they the criminals who are in and out of prison who nobody's got time for? Are they the teenage troublemakers? Are they the entrenched homosexuals who are unashamed of that? Are they the down and outs? Are they those who are living as if they were the other gender? You know, our hearts naturally want to stay away from these people, like Jonah and the Ninevites. Who are the lepers in our society? What would Jesus do? What would his heart's reaction be to these people? Friends, he'll be moved with compassion. For those people who were willing to come to him, he would be willing to cleanse them. But it's not just others, is it? You see, it affects us. And I'd say that there is nothing too shameful or too defiling that we cannot come broken to Jesus and he will cleanse us. We're saved and we're justified because of what he's done and our faith in that. But day by day, we need to keep a short account with him, don't we? We want to grow closer to him. And he lays his finger on those areas in our life, maybe that we've tried to cover up. But he makes us aware of them. We may feel ashamed of them, and rightly so, because sin is a shameful thing. But don't let that keep you from the one who can make you clean. Maybe even today, you know, with a trusted brother or sister, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed in the book of James. Maybe take that on board. Even if it's self-inflicted, there is nothing too shameful that Jesus is not willing to cleanse you of. And now we're going to blitz through the last few verses. But Jesus says something very odd to the leper. In verse 43, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. We've seen the Lord's compassion, but then his commission. Why did Jesus say this? Why did Jesus say, don't go and tell anyone, but first go to the priest. Say nothing until you've gone to the priest and done which Moses said. Well, Matthew 5:17 said, well, Jesus said that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, absolutely came to fulfill the law. Absolutely 100%. He wasn't going to overlook that obscure passage in Leviticus. He wanted the man to obey it. But what was it that he was telling the man to do? In Leviticus 14, you have the ceremony to pronounce clean a leper. And what would happen is the leper would have a sacrifice taken for him, two birds. One would be killed in a particular way. The other would have the blood of that bird sprinkled over it, and that bird would be let free. This man would then shave all his hair, wash himself, and remain 7 days outside of his house. And then he would take sacrifices and go to the tabernacle and make them. Then he'd be restored to his home and to his worship of the Lord. So that's what Jesus told the man to do. But why? Yes, because he came to fulfill the law. But also because of what he says right at the end of verse 44. Do this as a testimony to them. Jesus was going to be announcing himself progressively as the Messiah. And we know those who were most hardened to him were the religious ones, weren't they? And it can be the same today. But Jesus wanted this to be a testimony to the priests. Moses' hand, when he was leprous and then it was healed, that was a testimony, wasn't it? Naaman, when he dipped in the Jordan 7 times, this isn't the Jordan, by the way, just it was water, then he was convinced that the God of Israel was the one true God. John the Baptist, when he was unsure, is Jesus the Messiah? When he heard that the lepers were cleansed, that was enough, wasn't it? This law in Leviticus 14 had never been done. A leper had never been cleansed and brought to the priest before. So can you imagine? A leper walks up to the priest and he says, I've been cleansed. And the priest is saying, no. Have you pronounced me unclean 10 years ago? So he looks through his books and says, I did. You're that man. What happened? And he'll say, I'll tell you what happened. Jesus cleansed me. So can you do Leviticus 14 on me? And the priest would say, I've never had to do this before. He would have to look back and study and find out. And all the time he's thinking, this is unique. Something special, something strange is happening here. Later on, 10 lepers are healed, aren't they, by Jesus? The same again. The priests would be caused to think, wow, who is this man? He was to be a testimony to them. And sometimes God calls us to do that, which might not be natural. You see, that man wanted to go and tell all his friends, all his family. What he was to do, though, was to go out of his way down to Jerusalem and to do something unnatural. Sometimes God calls us to do that, which is unnatural to us. It may even be the opposite to this. God calls you to, hey, share what he has done with you. Tell that neighbour or that person who is struggling, Jesus has done this for me. Why? For a testimony to them. Because God can use that. So we're going to draw to a close. We're going to celebrate communion together for the next 5 or so minutes. We're going to have a time of quiet as well before we do. We'll think about those lepers who may be in our community and our family. That person in the family who nobody speaks to. Who you could pick up the phone to today and extend that compassionate hand to as a testimony, as an act of love. But we're also going to ask the Lord to search us. If there are those areas that we have been trying to cover, now is such a good time to confess them and to find cleansing of the Lord. When we remember his broken body to break the power of sin and that blood shed to cleanse us. So we're going to take a few minutes and then I'll ask Paul if he could share the elements with us.